From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jimmy Gaudette. It's Idaho Matters. When it comes to Boise, there are many things that make the city special. From its diverse culture, its unique historical sites, but one of the main attractions has to be its outdoor recreation. With the Boise River, the foothills, surrounding mountains, it's no wonder why people are drawn to the area. But did you know that these landmarks played an important role not just in the growth of Boise, but also its political and environmental history? That's something Dr. Carl Brooks will be exploring next week in his Fettuccine Forum lecture. We're lucky enough to have him join us today for a bit of a preview. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Samantha. Good to be with you.
Okay, can you start out by giving us a little bit of history about Boise, how it was established? And then I want to talk about the three main features, environmental features, but let's start at the beginning.
Well, Boise has a rich and complex history. It obviously goes back before people of European ancestry showed up, but that's really kind of the kickoff of modern Boise history. There were fur traders in about 200 years ago, but the first sustained population comes through with the Oregon Trail. Comes right down off the desert, coming out from Mountain Home, drops into the Boise River Valley. After the middle of the 1840s, the Boise Valley is inhabited on a pretty steady basis going on forward from there. There's a big swerve in the 1860s when we become a center for the mining industry up in the Boise Basin. So by the 1880s, Boise is a settled, established place at the edge of the desert, on the river, at the foot of the mountains.
So let's talk about these environmental features. I mean, you've already talked about one. You just think about the Oregon Trail. Folks coming through the area are going to go, well, the easiest way based on the environment around them. Talk about some of these features in Boise that have been used as resources, have been environmental resources throughout our history.
Sure. The river's probably the most obvious one, Samantha. Without a river, this is just another Mountain Home desert. So the river made the place special and it made it different. The river also provided a gateway as miners began to poke around in what comes to be called the Boise Basin up north over the foothills. They discover the tributaries of the Boise River are full of gold. And thousands of people come flocking in, coming both from the west out of California and from the east. They turn the Boise Basin into the next great American gold frontier from the 1860s to about the 1880s or 90s. Boise develops as a supply place for the mines. One thing that is around Boise, forested hills, forested mountains. So there's timber available for construction and mine work. And then Boise eventually turns the river into an irrigation resource, and it becomes the center for managing the whole Boise River irrigation system that's still with us today.
And it's very extensive. You just have to look around a little bit. You're going to see canals. You're going to see arterials. That irrigation crusade, it was a big deal.
It was huge. From about the late 1880s, once the railroad links Boise up, products raised here can go east, back into the Midwest and the East Coast, and they can go west toward the coast. Boise becomes an obvious place to reclaim the desert by pulling water out of the Boise River system and irrigating. So if you look around at some of these classic features that everybody grows up around, Diversion Dam, New York Canal, Arrow Rock Dam, these are tangible monuments of what really was a crusade to develop a sustainable agriculture out here in the arid Intermountain West. It took a lot of political effort to get that, a lot of important alliances and coalitions to create those concrete monuments to the irrigation crusade.
Well, talk about maybe some unexpected connections between some of the things we're talking about and politics. I mean, maybe Bogus Basin, the creation of Bogus Basin and the Greenbelt.
Bogus Basin is one of my favorite stories, Samantha, about that. It's called Bogus Basin because it, too, was part of the mining frontier, except it was a total scam. There was no gold up there at all, but there's always a sucker born every minute. So somebody thought they could put a mine in there. The area up above Boise essentially then sits undeveloped for nearly 50 years. until World War II. Folks may not know this, but Gowan Field, what's now the Boise Airport, was one of the main heavy bomber training bases in the United States. Thousands of young men from all over the country poured in there. Thousands of civilian workers, including my own grandfather, worked on those planes. The Army and the local folks needed to get those guys out of town on weekends, so they quickly cooked up an idea to turn Bogus Basin into a ski area. So by 1943, the Army is supplying trucks to haul people up there. Local businessmen have put in a little bit of a ski lift, and Boise becomes the access point for Bogus Basin. No one would have predicted that in 1940, but by 1943, it's kind of a thriving, active place. And 75 years later, it's still a feature of the Boise area.
Wait a minute. You're telling me Bogus Basin is named because the original mining spot was a scam?
Absolutely. Yep. People talked it up around town, said, oh, you just got to head up the hills. There's gold in those creeks up there. Well, there wasn't, but the name stuck. So I think when the Army looked around in 1942 and said, we should have a ski area, and somebody said, why not Bogus Basin? They said, wait a second, you're kidding me. No, really, it's called Bogus Basin.
Okay, you have taught me something completely new. I had no idea. I've been here all my life. I had no idea. Oh, wow. Okay. So how are some of these connections still shaping the city, influencing the city today? Especially, we're talking a lot about environmental history here, and I love this topic.
Oh, yeah. I think it's important for folks to know that nature doesn't just sit by idly waiting for us to work on it. It's an active, powerful force, and really in all human history, whether you're in Boise or Boston or Bahrain, for that matter, the natural world shapes so much of what we do. You might think of it sitting at every table where people are trying to figure out what to make Boise look like in the future. You can just walk over from Boise State and look at the river and realize that that river and the greenbelt running along it have been shaping, you know, and reshaping Boise really for more than 50 years. When I was a kid growing up there in the 60s and early 70s, the riverside was kind of scabby. I mean, it was trash dumps and gravel pits. Once we could better manage the river, people began to see development opportunities. What was Boise State College started expanding along the banks of the river. Eventually, we ended up with one of the great urban greenbelts in America. If you would have asked somebody in 1955 if that was possible, they would have laughed and said, no, it's basically just an overgrown flood site with car bodies in the river.
It's true. I've seen the picture. It's pictures. It's amazing the change that the river has gone through. We're speaking with Dr. Carl Brooks about the role that Boise's environmental history has played in shaping our community. So let's talk about environmental threats like climate heating. How is that going to affect Boise in the future?
Sure, Samantha. Really every place in America and around the globe are facing this. Boise's in kind of a uniquely vulnerable place. And I'm not a scientist. I know people in Boise know this, but it's an arid city at the edge of a really large desert zone. Snowfall is crucial to the river. There's no Boise River without adequate snowfall, which is really true for all the rivers in southern Idaho. As the climate heats, snowpack diminishes, snowfalls become less predictable. Obviously, that affects skiing season, but it affects irrigation. It affects fish. It affects power generation all down the Boise, the Snake, and the Columbia. Fires in the foothills become ever more common. I mean, I've spent a lot of summers in Boise growing up there. The summers are hot. Well, they're going to become extremely hot going forward. And Boise needs to think about ways of trying to take advantage of environmental features that are already there to maybe ameliorate or alleviate some of these climate change consequences. I think the canal system may provide an opportunity there that we haven't always thought about.
Let's talk about that. We've got about 3 minutes left. Talk about using canals for things like solar collectors. I love this idea.
Yeah, well, Samantha, think about the hundreds of miles of canals webbing out from the Boise River. I mean, they start at New York Canal and Diversion Dam, but if you took a look at a map, there's probably upwards of 400 to 500 miles of canals in western Ada County and in eastern Canyon County. A lot of irrigation districts are looking at whether those areas can become solar collectors. In other words, you can position solar collectors either next to or even over the top of the canals
Wow.
so that that water working to grow crops can do work generating power as well. And, obviously the fewer fossil fuel pollutants we put into the atmosphere, the better chance we have of trying to manage climate change. I think it's also possible that those canals can provide access out into some of the desert areas south of town that would give people a better sense for that desert resource, how to take care of that desert resource. I'm convinced Boiseans are innovative, thoughtful, practical. We've shown that for 150 years. I'm pretty sure that Boiseans can figure out a way to turn those canals to even better use.
I think this is a fascinating topic, it's fair to call you an environmental historian.
Yes, that's what I teach here at the University of Kansas. I got my PhD here a number of years ago, and I write books about dams and water and environmental law.
We've been speaking with Dr. Carl Brooks about the role that Boise's environmental history has played in shaping our community. He'll be speaking at Boise's Fettuccine Forum on Thursday, April 4th at the Trailhead. Thanks, Dr. Brooks.
You bet. Pleasure talking with you.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.